Amen.
All right. Well, I tell you, let's turn to Romans chapter 5 and in verse 12. And I want to just tonight preach on, really tonight, on death and sin, how they come together. So death and sin would be really the, I didn't title it tonight, but death and sin is really what I want to mention tonight. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, I sort of just want to bare my heart to you tonight, tell you what took place with, well, how I feel and what took place with my dad and I, and sort of just bring it all out, see what the Lord may have for us tonight. So if you would, stand to your feet in honor of God's Word. Chapter 5 of Romans and verse 12, a tremendous verse. It tells us a lot of things in this one verse concerning death and sin. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you for the privilege of being your child. God, thank you tonight for the church and the Word of God that you left behind, that we may learn and we may be guided by, and the Holy Spirit of God, Father, you may dwell us and dear God, assure us and convict us of our sin, God, to lead and guide us in the way we ought to go. We just want to thank you, Lord, for being so kind and good and gracious to us. And Father, there's absolutely no regrets in my heart about you and concerning you tonight. We love you now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to show, first of all, the entrance of sin. The entrance of sin. We know that tonight many people, when folks die, they get aggravated and they get bitter and they get angry with God. And they want to know, why did God take my loved one? Why in the world did God take this one? That question was asked here the last few days at my mom's house. And of course, I gave them this answer. They made a statement. They said, why would God take Frenchie, or God take Mo, or God take Dad? And you know, that would probably be a pretty good question to a lot of people. And you can mark it down and say, you know what, there's other people out there that is meaner, or maybe other people out there that's don't care about God, and they're angry all the time, they're bitter, they're ugly to their children, they're ugly to their spouse, they're in the society, they've just been robbing and stealing. You know, you can go on and on and on and characterize a bunch of people that are older than 71 years old than my dad. But I said this to them. I said, you know, it's not why God did that, it's why God didn't do that. I mean, listen, why not? Why not? I mean, here, Daddy got saved. Daddy got changed. Daddy began to go to church. Daddy began to serve the Lord. Daddy began to become more like Him. Daddy became more of a father. He became more of a husband. Daddy was faithful to the house of God. Daddy lived right. He was not perfect by any means, but he lived right. He lived for the Lord. He gave his tithes and offerings. He wanted people saved. He lived a life. He witnessed to those that he could. You know, why not? I mean, that's what kind of people heaven takes, right? I mean, that's the kind of people that heaven would receive in, is those kind of people tonight. And so, my take on it is not why did God take my daddy? But my question is why not? I mean, listen, it was not at all that daddy was not fit for heaven, for God made him fit for heaven. And so tonight, he took him because he was ready for him. He was prepared for him, and Daddy was fit for it. And so God said, you know what? I need you here more than I do need you there. Your task is done. Your race is over. I asked you to do something. You've done it. You finished it. And so it's time to come home. Amen. It's time to rest. And so that's how I look at it tonight. So then thinking of that thought, I want to know, how did sin at all enter into the world in which we live? How do we know that? Well, the answer is Adam, of course, in Genesis chapter 2. Look there, if you would. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. Let's look at that real quick. We all know about that scripture. Every one of us tonight have read Genesis, and especially the first five chapters concerning the creation of the world. We see in chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of, for in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shall surely die. And so we see, as you read that, God is saying, listen, basically God said, if you sin, you're going to die. And if you don't sin, you won't die. From the original tonight, if Adam would not disobey God, and if Eve was not deceived by the devil, tonight you and I would not ever at all have sin, have death in our lives at all tonight. We'd live forever. And all of us would live forever. Death wouldn't come about us, so death wouldn't be part of us. Sin wouldn't come about us and be part of us. And so all of us tonight would all live for eternity and with God. Amen? Now tonight, people do die. And the reason why people do die is because of sin tonight. And sin has entered into this world. You know, it's not God's way tonight. Sin is not God's way. Tonight, sin is not God's will. Tonight, sin is not God at all, God's work. And all I'm saying tonight is this, is there's sin first, then death. The Bible says that talk about the lust of a man, and then it talks about the sin of a man, and then brings forth death in James chapter 1. And so because of sin comes death tonight, so sin has entered into the world through Adam. Sin didn't enter into the world through man, through God tonight. You cannot blame God for the death of my dad. You cannot blame God for the disease of anybody and everyone. You cannot blame God for any murder or for any abuse. You cannot blame God tonight for anything that's ever taken place on this earth. It is not God's fault. It is not God's will. It was not God's work. It is not God's way. What happened, Brother Larry? How in the world did this take place? I mean, what took place? Adam chose to disobey God. And when he disobeyed God, all of mankind is fallen, amen? So now sin has entered in. Remember that tonight, because you're going to be faced with that in a lot of people. A lot of people say, why did they get cancer? Why do they have diabetes? Why does a little 3-year-old die? Why does a little baby die as a crib, in a crib death? Why this? Why that? Why can't they live? How come they don't live? And people are bitter tonight. People are mean tonight. People are angry tonight. People, friends, tonight are walking away, and they're walking from God. They're walking from truth. They're walking from what's right, because they cannot understand why there's such a God of grace and a God of love would allow their children, allow their mom and daddy to come to a place where they're diseased and they're dying. But they got to understand, sin entered in not because of God, because of man. Amen? Man tonight is the responsible party for all sin. So sin, of course, brings forth death, so man is responsible for death. So tonight we must come to that and say, listen, we must take the responsibility, because it's our sin. It's a sin of Adam all the way to the other generations to where we live tonight, and that is, it's brought forth death. And so the entrance of death, or the entrance of sin tonight, is one man, Adam. And so it wasn't God's way, will, or work. Number two, I want you to notice the evidence of sin is in the Scripture. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Tonight, where is the evidence of sin? The evidence of sin is in the world. Not in hell. You're not there. Not in heaven. You're not there. Where are you at? Out in the world. Well, how do I have evidence that there's sin? Well, there's evidence in sin because I'm in the world. You know, the Bible talks about clearly about things of diseases and of sicknesses tonight. And I believe tonight that sickness and disease and suffering and pain and deformities is all from sin. Because Adam brought sin into the world. Amen? Now, I don't want you to get confused tonight. I'm not saying that I use Sister Trish, for example, fibromyalgia, right? You have that? It's not because Sister Trish went out and robbed the bank. All right? She don't have fibromyalgia because she done something wrong and murdered somebody. She don't have fibromyalgia because she sinned personally. Amen? But there is tonight fact and truth that there is death and disease and suffering and pain because of sin. That's all from Adam. Friend, without Adam making that decision, we'd not have disease tonight. And as I looked at my dad for the last 3 years, and as dad took on cancer, and dad got cancer in his pancreas, and he got cancer in his lung, he got cancer in his stomach and lining of his colon, and he got cancer then in the lower abdomen area, and then he got cancer up in the chest area, and all of a sudden it metastasized, and it got bigger, and it got larger, and it got more, and we took a pill, and it did better. We took chemo, it did better, but it never went away. Daddy was deteriorating the whole time. He weighed almost 200 pounds. When he died, he weighed 130. And so you find that this cancer, you'll find that Daddy had heart disease, a triple bypass. Daddy had a kidney cancer. He had a kidney removed in 1994. And then Daddy had a surgery on his neck and put the arteries there, and he had shoulder surgery. He's all cut up. He was all beat up at like, and you know, and so you think, well, good, what's going on, Brother Larry? Sin. The evidence of sin is disease and suffering. Amen. And tonight, as we get older, and as you and I move forward, and as you and I are going to get diseased, and you and I are going to get sick, and you and I are going to have pain and suffering, and it's not getting better, folks. It's not getting easier, and we're not getting healthier, what I'm trying to say. Amen? And because of sin tonight, we see evidences of sin. And so tonight we see it by the way of our lives, our own lives. I'm 49 years old, and when y'all remember when I was 40 years old, and man, I was a lot quicker, and I was a lot stronger, and a lot go-getter, and all that stuff. Y'all remember when I was 35 years old? Amen? And so y'all knew me back then, and boy, and I knew you back then. And there's things that's changed in our lives tonight. How we look a little different. We move a little slower. We're a little bit less tolerant, a little bit more grumpy. Amen. I mean, let's just tell the truth tonight. What all that's from? That's all from sin. Amen. In the world tonight is the evidence of sin. We see that. We see that, and it all boils down. You say, well, brother, I don't even believe that. I don't believe that's to be true. Turn your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, first of all, and let's read that verse and sort of kind of give you an idea about this sickness and disease and suffering and pain and deformities. There in chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, and the sin has took place, and God is now speaking about what's going to take place to those who have and who's part of that sin. And He talked about the serpent, of course, there in verses 14 and 15. And then He comes to verse 16, talks about the woman. And then He goes to 17 and says, Adam, He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree with which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now we're talking about the suffering, and we're talking about disease, we're talking about pain, and we're talking about tonight of things of that nature. And He says this, He says, sorrow, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. In sorrow. Sorrow began right then. Sorrow, pain, suffering, disease, sickness, all began right then. The curse of the ground, the sorrow in it, tonight began right there because of the decision of Adam. Amen? A very decision of disobedience unto God. Now I want you to notice what God says now in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Turn there. Deuteronomy 28. Now what I'm trying to show tonight is the evidence of sin. It's in the world tonight. And as I looked at Daddy, and as I went back, and I began to look and see, and why did Daddy die? Well, Daddy didn't die because God was mad at him. Daddy didn't die because something that Daddy did, and God just took him out of the world. Yet there is a sin tonight, or sins tonight, that if you are not right with God, that God can do that, and will do that, and has done that. But tonight, generally speaking, as I looked at Dad, I say, why is Dad dying? Why did Dad die? You know, it comes to one conclusion. Sin. Amen. Why is Daddy suffering? I had many people tell me that. Your daddy's a good man. Your daddy loves God. Your daddy loves the church. Your daddy gives. Your daddy it goes out of the way. Daddy's a servant to those. And why in the world would he suffer like that? Why would Brother Mark's daddy preach for 40 years? Man, kind, sweet man. Pastor of a church, loved God. Went out and witnessed and told people about Christ, preached the Word of God. He loved God, suffered. People you know tonight who love God suffers. Why is there pain? Why do they go through so much? Why did Daddy go to bed at 5:30 in the evening because he's hurting so bad? I seen him sit there on the couch and just bend over like this, and I seen him throw up blood. I seen him hold his head, and he said, oh son, he said, this is way too much that I can handle. And and on and on and on. And I'm saying, why? Why is all that happening? Sin. Sin. Why happens? Don't blame God tonight. Don't blame God. Blame who it belongs to. That's sin. Ultimately, tonight it's the devil. That's who it is ultimately. But tonight, I want you to look at chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. Now, I want you to pay close attention tonight about what God is saying to the children of Israel, in which He would say to us tonight, because He's talking about sin, but He's also talking about death. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, the evidence of sin. I want you to look there in about verse 15 tonight of chapter 28. It says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Now that's what Adam did. Adam didn't hearken unto the Lord. Amen? He didn't do that. Tonight, you and I got a choice today, either to hearken unto the Lord's voice or not to do it. Look what he says now. He says, "To observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Now here's some curses again. You remember back in Adam's day? The cursed is the ground. Why was the ground cursed? Why in sorrow shall he eat thereof? Why should he do that? Because he disobeyed God. What is disobedience to God? Sin. Amen? Hasn't changed. Look what it says. "Cursed shall thou be in the city. Cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in. Cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest in thine hand to do, unto until thou be destroyed." There's death. It says, "And until that thou perish quickly," there's death. "Because of thy wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me." Oh, it's not good to sin tonight. Because of sin tonight, we find death. So because of sin tonight, you're going to find more than death. You're going to find sickness and pain and hurt and suffering. You're going to find that tonight in the Bible, because it does say that. In verse 20, the Bible says that there is a cursing. We understand that already. Vexation. You know what vexation means tonight? Vexation is a panic disorder. God said, because you won't listen to me, because you don't want to disobey me, because you do not want to live according to my word, according to my ordinances and my commandments tonight, then you're going to possibly have a panic disorder, depression tonight. Now I'm not saying tonight that you're having depression because some sin you're committing, but I am telling you tonight that depression comes from disobedience of God. The medical field won't agree with that. And even psychiatrists and psychologists won't agree with that either. But I agree with God. That's what I agree with tonight. He said, you don't want to do what I say. You don't want to obey me. You want to live like you want to live. Well, then there might just be some vexations happen to you. What is that? That's a panic disorder. So tonight, there's depression that takes place. You know how many people are depressed tonight? You know tonight how easy it would be for me to be depressed? You know how many people in my family tonight are depressed? You know where depression comes from? Sin. I hate to say it tonight, but that's true. I want to say number two tonight, that as you read verse 21, it says, "The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave." Now, I want you to pay attention to what God is saying to people who disobey Him. Now, I'm going to read a lot of Scripture tonight in this Deuteronomy. It may have been all as far as I get tonight, but I want you to see what God has to say concerning disobedience, which is sin. I'm going to read it slow so we can get it tonight, because I think we need to. It says, "The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until He have consumed thee from off the land." There's death. "Whether thou goest to possess it, the Lord shall smite thee with the consumption." Now what is consumption tonight? Consumption is a lung disease. A lung disease. He says, "And with a fever." Fever just means a fever tonight. People have fever. You get sick, you have fever. Where does fever come from? Well, because I went outside barefooted. Oh, because you went to bed with your hair wet. No, favor comes from sin tonight. All right, disobedience of God. He also says there that I will, with a extreme burning, that's a very feverish, a heavy feverish. I'm talking about real heavy as far as being hot. Then he talks about with an inflammation in verse 22. The word inflammation, tonight it just means what we have in our bodies is inflammation. All of us tonight have inflammation. That's what creates the bacteria in our lives that creates the problem we have. It's inflammation tonight. Inflammation and arthritis. That's what arthritis is all about, is inflammation. We heard in our ankles, we heard in our back, we heard in our joints tonight. Inflammation. Inflammation. Why we have earaches, why we have headaches tonight. Inflammation. Why do we get fatigued? Why do we get weak? Inflammation. Where's all this coming from tonight? Sin? Yeah. What happens after sin? Death. Why in the world did God allow this? Because of sin, that's why. Disobedience with God. Look at verse 23. In the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth of that is under thee shall be iron. You ever felt that way? How heaven is iron? This is where you get it from right here. It says, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. There's death. God said, you want to continue disobeying me? Continue suffering then. Continue disease then. Continue to have pain then. And then you're going to die. Amen? I can't get bitter at God tonight for the death of my dad. I can't be upset at all tonight at God. It's sin that caused that. And sin brought forth death. And how do I know that? Well, I see it in the world today. That's how I know it. Amen? Verse 25, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. Shall thou be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth? Thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. No man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with botch of Egypt. Now what is botch? Botch is boils. And with emeralds. What is emeralds tonight? Emeralds are tumors. Tumors tonight is what that word emerald would mean. A lot say that means hemorrhoids, which is, it could also mean that, but it means more tumors than anything. It says, with the scab and with the itch, which is just a rash, whereof thou canst not be healed. You ever hear anybody say they got something that can't be healed? Like cancer? That's what they told my dad. They said 3 years ago, he said, you got cancer in the pancreas and can't be healed. Wonder why dad had that. Wonder why God allowed that to happen to my daddy. Sin. Is it my daddy's sin? Not necessarily, but it's sin. It's disobedience. And God said in His Word, He said, you don't want to obey me? He said, well, then there'll be some suffering and pain and agony and trouble, then you'll be die. He said, there's going to be disease that you can't heal. You know, we got scientists tonight, we got medical fear tonight, spending millions and trillions of dollars to try to heal some things. And you know, they say they got the answer to cancer. They say they can heal cancer tonight. They're not healing cancer. They say, well, you know, it's an economic thing. It's that the reason why they're not going to put it out on the market, because there's a lot of big business with cancer. I mean, they got big hospitals and big doctors, and a lot of money goes through this thing. You know, with all the chemotherapy that kills you chemically, and all the radiation that kills you internally, amen, and darkens your body and darkens your skin and kills everything that radiation hits. And they say, man, it's big business. It's not gonna, they got an answer to that, but there's not going to come. Can I tell you something tonight? If it ain't cancer, if it ain't AIDS, it'll be something else. Because God said, I'll send that through a scab or an itch or a botch. He said, I send it through either emerald. He said, but that cannot be healed. You know what all stems down tonight? Is people do not want to stop sinning, but they want an answer to cancer. Amen? They want an answer to diabetes. They want an answer to Alzheimer's. They want an answer to everything, but they don't want to get right with God. I know this ain't a very happy message. I know tonight it's not a very welcome to those who have had people who pass away, which my dad did, last night. So I can just say to you, I've experienced it. I was telling Brother Raymond, I think there are somebody I was telling that I have buried several folks who've died, and they went to them. They said it was a mother and a father, and I went to them, your heart goes out to them, and you try to console them as best you can, and you try to just comfort them, and you try to be what a pastor ought to be, a friend ought to be, someone who is Christ-like ought to be, and now when somebody passes, that's a mom or a dad, Brother Raymond, I know. I know the hurt. Folks, tonight, it's not that I hate God. I hate the devil. I hate sin. Tonight, I believe if we ever get to that place, hating sin, it sure helps us out. I seen what sin could do. I seen what sin did do. I seen the evidence of sin in this world by watching my dad. Watching my dad suffer. Watching my dad cry. Watching my dad just hurt. Not because of his fault. Not because of what he's done or what he said. Not because of the judgment of God. Not because of the wrath of God. Not because of this world tonight. It's all because of sin. Man, when you see that tonight, you come with a hatred, with the very attitude and the very desire to eliminate the devil, to hate the devil. And man, I tell you tonight, this message has just been stirring in my heart concerning what God said will happen if you disobey me, and it's happening, and we don't see it. The world don't see it. We're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars on all this medicine, all this herb, all this root, all this fancy medicine and fancy doctors and specialists of all kinds, and yet our world is sinful, and we're getting more sinful, and disobeying God in every way and everything that you talk to and everybody else, and we're missing the whole point. I believe tonight if we just get right with God. I'm not saying tonight that you're not going to get disease, because Adam was the one who brought in sin. Amen? Because of sin, there's death and sorrow. I want you to look here tonight, there in verse 28. To the Lord shall smite thee with madness. Tonight, that's a mental. That's mental. Madness is talking about a mental, like something of bipolar or something and I'm not discounting bipolar tonight. Please don't misunderstand me. I believe there's bipolar people out there. And I believe tonight there's people that have mental issues and mental problems. And I believe people tonight that are mental. Now, I can go a little deeper in that on what mental is, where I feel like mental is, and I believe it has a whole lot to do with the devil. Amen? The reason why I say that is because having a mental problem like bipolar is because of sin and Adam's sin. Remember, sin brought death, and sin also brought suffering and pain. And so, in this madness that he's talking about here, it all came because of the disobedience of God. And now you and I that live on this fallen earth, fallen man's earth, tonight who's been cursed, have to face the consequences of this mental madness that goes on. Amen? And so we see that to be true. Also there, it talks about with blindness, and that's just people being blind, of course, and astonishment of heart. That's just a heart that fails. A heart that just completely just turns and completely just gives away. Then he says, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in the ways, and thou shalt only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Well, that's an awful way. I mean, thinking about man, thinking about doctors, I remember going to the cancer doctor, because we went to a medical doctor, and the medical doctor said, listen, you can find help at this cancer doctor. Man, help? We like that. He tells Daddy, Daddy, you got cancer in the pancreas, but you can go to this doctor here and find help. Ah, excitement, man. He's telling us, get ready to die. And then the medical doctor, this is the regular old MD, get ready to die. But you go down here to the oncologist, the cancer doctor, he said he can help you. Hey, man, we got in our car. Daddy can get some help. We go to the oncologist. Oh, yeah, man, no problem. No problem. He'll start taking chemotherapy. We're going to do it. We're going to do it two times a week. We're going to do it for a series of 6 weeks. And then he's off for 6 weeks. And those 6 weeks, we'll do it three times. He says, this cancer's done well with this type of, this chemotherapy's done well with this cancer. He said, man, I don't see any problems. So he took a picture. He took MRI. And the cancer was in about three spots of Daddy's body. After that first treatment, the second treatment, the third treatment, did an MRI. The cancer was gone. Y'all remember that? Man, good report. Everything's well. So no more chemo. So he didn't take chemo for about 9 months. We went back. Daddy started hurting again. Daddy started having the same symptoms before. Went back. Cancer's back. No man shall save thee. We go back. He says it's another round of chemo. He said, well, that's it. This chemo's not working, and the cancer's not responding to you. So you need to go to hospice. And that's when we found that pill. No man shall save thee. You see, here we as people, with all our energy and all our strength and trusting in God, we feel, and looking to God for direction and leadership, we feel, and yet we're taking advantage of what God's put around us through medicine and through doctors. But in actuality, because of the disobedience of Adam, no man shall save thee. Yeah? 3 years later, Daddy's dead. No man shall save thee. The evidence of sin. I'm just trying to bring forth some things about evidence of sin. We see that tonight in the lives of people. We see, thou shalt betroth with a wife, verse 30, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Boy, there's a whole message in this whole chapter right here that I can't preach tonight. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes. Thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face. Thou shalt not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given to thine enemies. Thou shalt have none to rescue them. The sons and daughters shall be given unto another people. Thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. There shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. Thou shalt not only be oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for thy sight and thine eyes, which shall see thee. In other words, God's saying, listen, all this is going to happen to you because you disobey me, but you're going to get mad. And that's what happened. People are disobeying God. Things happen to them, they get mad. God says, what's going to happen? Right here, Deuteronomy 28, right there, it tells us that. In verse 35, and the Lord shall smite thee in the knees, in the legs, with a sore botch, that's boils that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy feet to the top of thy head. Job knew about that. The Lord shall bring thee and the king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy father shall have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out of the field, and thou shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them. Thou shalt drink of the wine, nor gather the grapes, for thou worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with an oil, for that olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. Thou shalt come down very low. He shall lead to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be thy head, and thou shalt be thy tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, and thou shalt be destroyed. There's death. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. For thou shalt be upon thee for a sign, for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for thy abundance of all things. Well, that's a great verse right there. Therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. There's death. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue shall thou not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. He shall eat of the fruit of the cattle and the fruit of thy hand, that until thou be destroyed. There's death again. And then look at verse 59. Then the Lord will make thee plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuances. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Tonight I just try to show you that the Bible talks about the evidence of sin, and it's in the world. There's the entrance of sin. And thirdly tonight, what is the effect of sin? The effect of sin is death. We see that back into our text in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. We see it, wherefore as by one man, that's the entrance of sin into the world, that's the evidence of sin. Death by sin, that is the effect of sin. Tonight, because of sin, there's death. There's a spiritual death. Tonight, we see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, where he says, thou shalt surely die. We know that Adam committed sin. We know that that was done back in the garden. And yet Adam didn't die at that point physically, but he did die spiritually. He began to die right there, spiritually. And so the Bible talks about a spiritual death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, is appointed unto man once to die. And friend, once you die, friend, there's a spiritual death involved. What does it mean tonight to have death? What does it mean to experience death tonight? Well, spiritual death is this, it's separation from God. That's what it means to die in a spiritual way. Tonight, if you die without Christ, you'll be separated from Christ for all eternity. That means you'll be misery in hell forever. Amen? And so when somebody says that you're not saved, if somebody says, I'm not born again, or I'm not a believer, I'm not a Christian tonight, what they're saying is I have spiritually died, and I'm separated from God, and when I die, I'm going to go to a place where God's not. That's an awful, awful thought tonight. But then there's also a physical death. Sin comes there. Because of sin, there's death. There's a physical death. That physical death means a separation from the body. That means tonight that your soul will be separated from your body, and that's death tonight. A saved do that, a unsaved, a lost, a believer tonight, a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu tonight, doesn't matter. All physical death, amen? And it all's the same. Your soul will be separated from the body. That's what it means. It means separation tonight. And so there's a physical death. It means life has ended on earth. There's a first death, the death that you die, the death that my dad died last night about 6:15, and it was a death that was his death. I mean, it's his first death. I'm sorry. He died for the first time. Amen? And now there is such a thing as a second death. And tonight, if you are not saved, you're going to die twice. You're going to die physically, but then you'll die spiritually. And that's called the second death tonight. You're either this way. Either you're born twice and die once, or you die twice and born once. Does that make sense tonight? You're born out of your mother's womb and you die physically, then you die spiritually. That's two deaths. Or tonight, you're born out of your mother's womb, you get born again, and you die once. Physical death. Amen? All of us are in that condition. You got to choose what you want. And so tonight, as I was watching Dad and seeing that the evidence of sin in the world by my dad, and I seen the effect of sin last night, about 6:15, Daddy died. Now, as I was watching Dad for about 3 years, and I seen him deteriorate, and I knew why he was doing that, because of sin. And I knew the effect, that the very evidence of sin was I was watching my daddy. He was hurting and pain and suffering and going through those things. As the hospice came in on Monday, and they began to give him some medicine and trying to calm him down and trying to make him feel more comfortable because he was hurting in his stomach. He was throwing up this black stuff. They say it was blood, and it was real dark. You know, it might have been blood. They was throwing that up. He was hurting in his stomach, and so they was giving him all this kind of stuff, and we was giving it to him every 4 to 6 hours and all that stuff. And we come on down, and then on I believe it was on Saturday, it was on Sunday, Daddy went into a coma. And Daddy was in a coma for 6 hours, and he wouldn't respond. He wouldn't do anything. I mean, he was just laying there. He was sleeping. He was restful, it looks like. He had his mouth open, and he had oxygen in his nose, but he would not respond. He wouldn't open his eyes. He would have no at all. Seems not. They say that he was hearing us. They say that they can understand what we're saying, but they just can't respond to it. And so 6 hours took place. Brother Mark came that night, and as Brother Mark came, he prayed with him, prayed with Daddy, and then he reached over to on my top of my dad, and Brother Mark was on this side, my dad was laying right here, and I don't know why Brother Mark did this, but he went on the opposite side of my dad in his ear. He got real close in his ear. That means his whole body was on top of my dad, on top of my dad's face. And so he reached over like that, and he was whispering something in Daddy's ear. Probably just tell him he loves them. And all of a sudden, my dad, he did like this, and his eyes opened up. He said, "Get back." Of course, we said, "Hey, Dad." He said, "Hey." And so, I mean, it was exciting because I figured at that point that Dad was dead. I mean, not he wasn't dead at that point, but there was no more communication. I mean, it was over. It was over, and we was able to tell Dad bye, and we told him we loved him, we told him we appreciate him, and all those kind of things that you do. We had that opportunity at that point. But Daddy came back. And so the hospice lady called. We called the lady, and she said, "Yeah, that's called a rally." That a lot of times that these people, well, they have this, they go down, they go in a coma, then they rally. And then when they rally, they go up, and then they go back down, and when they start going down, they crash down fast. He said, but they've seen rallies of two or three rallies. It lasts about a month, you know, so you got about a month of right there. So I mean, we don't really know what's going on there with Dad, but Dad was at this point now, he was awake, and he was now not hurting, because I'd ask him, "Dad, are you hurting?" "No, I ain't hurting." He wasn't throwing up. He wasn't doing anything. And so that Monday came, and so he. He didn't sleep. He didn't sleep Sunday night. I stayed with him Sunday night, all night, and all night we was up. And he was talking. He was hallucinating. He's talking about back in young days. He's talking about back in Central Freight Lines, and talking about it back in his bookbinding, and talking about football, talking about when I played football. And you can ask him, "Daddy, you doing all right?" "I'm doing all right." And you say, "Daddy, what's your name?" "Maurice Lafreniere." "When was you born?" 9/30/40. "Where was you born at?" "Lowell, Massachusetts." I mean, he'd answer all your questions. He knew everything, smart about everything. But then he'd just, he's doing this. He'd look out. "Hey, Daddy, hey, how you doing?" Somebody come in the room. "Hey, Brother Mark. Hey, Brother Ronnie. Hey, Brother Gary." I mean, he knew everybody, and you could talk to him, tell him you love him. He'd say, "I love you too," and you can kiss him. He'd reach up and kiss you and everything. But he was busy. And while he's just laying, he's doing all this. And we finally realized he's working. He's working all those jobs. And he's working. Brother Raymond, he slept for 6 hours on Sunday. And when he woke up about 5 o'clock. He woke up all night long. We stayed up. The next day was Monday. My sister stayed with him. All night long, he stayed up. He stayed up for about 50 hours. Didn't sleep one wink. Moving the whole time, getting up, raising up on the bed, wanting to go to the restroom. Of course, he went to the restroom. He couldn't use the restroom. Or he'd sit up on the bed. And finally, we said, "Daddy, you can't go to the restroom anymore." We had to walk him to the restroom. Before he was, for 6 hours, he was nothing. Now he's walking to the restroom. He's drinking Coke. But you tell him, but he's out of it too. I mean, it's kind of weird. He says, "I want to go to the restroom." I said, "Daddy, you can't get up and go to the restroom." "Okay, no problem." He lay back down. He'll take the cover off of him and start getting up. I said, "Daddy, you can't go nowhere." "Okay." He lay back down. He said, I got to go to the restroom. I said, okay, let's go to the restroom. I said, he gets up there, he sits on the bed. I said, okay, let's go to the restroom. He said, okay. I said, did you go? Yeah, I went. You did a good job. Okay, thank you. He lay back down. Just silly stuff like that. 48 hours, 50 hours. He ain't stopped. At 3 o'clock in the morning, he's going, Hey, Daddy, how you doing? I'm doing good. Did you sleep well last night? Oh, man, I slept good last night. I'm telling y'all, folks, for 2 days, Brother Raymond was the best time we had. He was funny. Man, he was cracking up. Mom, he'd stick his tongue out at her. He was funny. I mean, Daddy's always funny naturally. And we had the best time. Now, we was all tired because nobody's sleeping because everybody's got to watch him. Then all the grandkids, all of us got to sit right next to him, talk to him, joke with him, laugh. We laughed so hard. I mean, it was the greatest 2 days in the last 3 years we had with Daddy. And then, started having rattle. The rattle began. And he told me that nurse told me, said, when that rally falls down, it falls down. And it's going to crash. So I was in there, and Daddy was, Mama said, Daddy got to calm down. Mom was a nervous wreck. He said, Larry, you go in there by yourself and just lay with him, okay? See if he'll just quit because he's doing this. Say, man, hey, did y'all see that? Did y'all see that bug? Stuff like that. So I'd catch the bug, you know, and I put a piece of tape on the fan because he's watching the fan. He said, that's a good baseball diamond. I put the tape on the fan. He goes, you know, we had a good time. It comes on Tuesday. It's about 6 o'clock. And Daddy's starting to rattle, and he's starting to have a hard time breathing. Brother Keith, he was, like he had asthma or something. And he's been throwing up that black stuff the day before. Well, all of a sudden, he got so weak, he can't even raise up out of bed anymore. So he can't throw up anything. So I seen he's laying on his flat on just a pillow. So I put two pillows up so he'd kind of be inclined like that. So that he was really breathing. He started getting sweaty. And Daddy was ever in kind of stress, he always do that through his head like this. So he's still going like that. About that time, Brother Mark walked in. He said, hey, Brother Larry, how you doing? I said, I'm just sitting here with Daddy. I said, I think he's having a hard time breathing, Brother Mark. I'm trying to set him up in the deal. And so Brother Mark got on that side, but Daddy got, and I got on this side. We lift Daddy up because at that point, you can hear it gurgling. We lift Daddy up, had Daddy in my arms. He died. You know what? They said to me, I said, Brother Larry, I couldn't handle that. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad it happened that way. My dad died in my arms. How did that happen? Sin entered in. The evidence of sin, I seen my daddy. The effect of sin was death. And then the end of sin. Look at this. I've got one more verse and we'll close. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 26. Well, let's read. Let's begin reading there, verse 20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. In verse 26, man, The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Instead, he was in my arms. He wasn't breathing. I told Brother Mark, I said, he's dead, Brother Mark. We laid him down. I said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And I'm so glad that Daddy got saved. But the last enemy was death. See, that death didn't take my daddy. Jesus Christ resurrected my daddy. My daddy just sleeps. And the reason why he can sleep is because one day he's going to be resurrected because the last enemy has been destroyed. Sister Trish, is death. Death shouldn't have no fear. Death didn't intimidate me. As my daddy faced death, he went off into eternity. To be absent from the body, to be present. Why did all that happen? Sin entered in. Sin and its evidence is in the world. The effect of sin is death. But the end of sin is Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you don't know Him as your personal and Lord Savior, death will eat you up. You better know before you leave that Christ is Lord and He's Savior. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I hope I didn't bother you tonight by personally speaking tonight about this. But it's heavy on my heart.